Alright. Let them scamper out. As they do, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. And you know where we're going if you've been here this week at BBS. Usually this time of year we have a verse that's our theme verse of our program. And that's what this is this morning. And as we look at this, right in the middle of the book, or not in the middle of the book, at the beginning of the book, I guess, of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's in his second message to Israel. And what he's trying to do is encourage the Israelites to follow God. They are on the precipice of being taken captive because of their disobedience. They completely have turned from God, completely have chosen to go their own way. And so as we look at this, he's going to, in verse 16, he's giving them that chance again. And that's what God does. He does over and over and over again. I can remember many times, I don't know how many, I can't even count the number of times I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and rejected him. Many times I did. And it wasn't, of course, till the last time I heard him that I got saved. It's always the last time. It's like looking for something. You always find it in the last place you look, generally, right? But the fact is, that's what happened. And God is trying to work in their lives as well and trying to help them and encourage them. In verse 16 of chapter 6 of Jeremiah, let's read this. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and walk, and where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And then it says, "But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. And this morning, as we look at this and remember the mercy and grace that you have shown Israel, and still want to encourage them as you have shown each one of us. And Father, I just pray that we would look to you and trust you and help us understand what you're trying to help them to see, for we need to see it as well. And I pray now you just speak to our hearts through your word this morning. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here he starts off, and it's just like 3 points, and the 3 points are basically the verse. He says, "Stand ye in the ways and see." Now, when I first read that, my thought was, well, you're supposed to just stand in the way, okay, and continue to follow God. But that's not what it's saying here. He's saying, stand in the ways and see. He's talking about a crossroad. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, look at where you're at and look at the roads that you have to choose from. I want you to see them, look down them, understand them. And it's really a decision is what he's saying. You have to make a decision. You're standing in the way. You've got an intersection that has come in your life, and you want to make a choice one way or the other. And of course, Israel had been living apart from God. I want you to look at chapter 5, and my Bible's just on the other page, verse 21, and just a taste of what Israel was doing. It says here in verse 21, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not, fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by the perpetual degree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his seasons. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Your sins have withholden good things from you." And of course, he goes on in this whole chapter. He's talking about how rebellious Israel has become. And again, remember that this is God's chosen people. Why did God choose these people? We know why. The Bible tells us it was because Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That is why God chose Israel, because Abraham believed. Why did God choose you? Because you believe. God chooses everybody, but not everybody believes. And that's the problem, right? And so here, the children of Israel, they had known what took place in their past. They had the Pentateuch. They had parts of the Bible. They could understand. And of course, they were taught all the way up through the ages how God delivered them time and time again. He delivered them from Egypt. He sent the judges. Every time they cried to God, He sent somebody there to help them. Maybe it was Gideon or Samson or somebody came along and led them in the right direction. And they were blessed. And then shortly after, they went back to their old ways. Sometimes this is the way we are. Instead of walking with the Lord and growing in grace, we're doing this. Some of you like roller coasters, do you? That's the way our lives go sometimes, is we're up and down. We're up and down. Sometimes we're following God, sometimes we're not. And so here he's giving them an admonition. He's telling them to stand in the ways. I want you to stand, and I want you to see. You know where you're going. You know what I can do for you. You have to make a decision. You have to choose today what you're going to do. As we in our lives know, as we study the Bible, there have been many people that have come to the crossroads of decision. David was one of those. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel for a second. To hold your place in Jeremiah. We may come back there. In 2 Samuel, I want you to go to chapter 12 and just set it up for you. Remember, David, he was standing on the rooftop at a time he should have went to war. And instead of going and being in the battle and fighting, he was there on the rooftop. It was about lunchtime or so. He got up out of his bed. He looked out on the roof and he saw something. And it was a lady. And when he saw that lady, she was taking a bath. He desired her. And instead of making a decision, which he could have made right then and there, he could have said, nope, I'm not going to do this. But instead, he sent his servant to go get her. And of course, he took her, and through that whole ordeal, he ended up not only committing adultery with another man's wife, but he had the man killed as well. And so David was living apart from God. He was doing his own thing. He was living like he wanted to. And then in chapter 12, we see, verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger, it says, was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I anointed thee, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee a house of Israel and of Judah. If that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So David, as he heard this testimony, as Nathan brought this analogy to him that revealed to David's heart that he had done this very thing and that he himself should be put to death, he realized that he had sinned. He stood in the ways and he looked. Now he needed help. We all do. We all need someone or something from the Word of God to redirect us and to guide us. That's why it's important to read your Bible. That's why it's important to come to church. And so you know if there's something you're not doing right, that God will reveal it to you and help you to stand in the ways and see the path you're going on. And so here David made a commitment. And it said here that the sword would be in his house forever. You know what that caused? You know what the rebuke of that whole thing is? He could not build the temple because he was a man of war. The sword would never leave his house. And so that happened. There was consequence for what happened, but God did forgive him because he confessed his sin. You can go to Psalm 51 sometime and you can read that on your own. But also, Paul on the road to Damascus, a genuine man, a man who was serving God fervently and was trying to do right. He was persecuting Christians, you know, those blasphemers of God. He was going after them and he was going to take and wrap them up and throw them in jail. He had the letters. And then he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to a crossroad. Stand in the ways and see. And the Lord revealed to him that he was kicking against the pricks, or he was going against God. And that's when he made that statement, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He made the right choice. And God changed his life forever. And we have evidence in it in the Word of God. The Israelites were given an opportunity to stand in the ways and see. But the Bible tells us their eyes were blind. Their ears, they could not hear. Why? Because they chose to be rebellious to the Word of God. They had the opportunity, and yet they failed in that. This morning, maybe somebody in here is facing a crossroad. It may be that you never understood the way of God. You know, the way of God is clear in the Bible. For us today, it's putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's what belief is all about. Ye believe in God, he said, that's a good thing. But also believe in me, Jesus said. That's where it all rests. Many people say they believe in God, but James tells us the devils also believe and tremble. So it's important for us to see. So if you're a person who has never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I want you to know this morning that you can change and make that decision today. And I can guarantee 100% it'll be the best decision you ever make. And you will know it when you do it. It's amazing the transformation that takes place immediately in your heart. But maybe, if you're like me, we fight the flesh. I don't know about you, but there's a battle there. Paul, a man who served God fervently with all his heart, he made those statements that the things he should do, he didn't, and the things that he shouldn't do, he does. So he understood the flesh and he understood the battle, but he also wrote Romans chapter 6 right before that and said, we don't have to yield to that. We don't have to sin because we have a God who lives inside of us that's greater than any one of us. And he's the all-powerful God. He's the one who divided the waters and let the children of Israel go across the Red Sea. He's the one who divided the waters of Jordan and let Joshua and the people go across the sea. Or the waters there. God can do that, and he wants to do it in our lives. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17. God speaks of this very thing. Jesus actually speaks of this very thing in Matthew chapter 7. And here, I want you to see that he talks about this two ways. He talks about this stand in the ways and see. He talks about the choices that we get to make and that we get to decide. Whether you're saved or lost, you still have to make a choice. In verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, again, the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is speaking. He says, enter ye at the straight gate. He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So what he's saying is there's a choice. And I want you to know the broad way is where most people walk. That's why it's broad, okay? And that's where a lot of people, in fact, most people in this world today are on the broad path. There are very few that are walking the narrow path. And let me suggest to you also, even as Christians, there are very few that are walking the narrow path. You say, but I'm saved. That's great. Praise God. But are you honoring God with your life? Are you on the straight path? You can be saved and walking down the broad way. What am I saying? You can live like the world, act like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world, just be part of the world and still be saved. Now, I don't necessarily understand all that, but it's true. And so we all have a choice of which path we choose. So as we stand in the ways of everyday living, today I have to make a choice. Tomorrow I will have to make a choice. When I get up, I have to decide what I'm going to do with my life. And if I'm willing to stand in the ways and see from the Word of God and follow that, I'm going to be on the right path, the narrow way. But if I choose to do it my way, which I do often, that's the broad way. That's the wrong way. That way, the Bible says, leads to destruction. We don't want that. Say, destruction for a Christian? Yes! There is a sin unto death, John tells us, but don't pray for it. There is a sin unto death. And there comes a time in every person's life when you get so far away from Christian, it can be done. That's it. It doesn't happen often. And I don't know when it happens, but God does. We have a choice. Look on down to verse 24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so here we see that he's given us two metaphors, if you will, to help us to understand that we all have choices. This, I think, is speaking mostly of salvation, but it's still talking about the walk of a Christian. Because even though you build your life, or let me back up, even though you have the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, what you build on that is important. You can build wood, hay, and stubble. And that stuff won't last. It won't. But if you use the precious stones, the gold, the silver, it'll stand. And those are things that are going to last. And those are things that when a Christian stands before God, we will be rewarded for. So there are choices, and every one of us needs to stand in the ways this morning and look at our lives and look at the Word of God and see what path we're on. Are we following God? Are we doing our own thing? A Christian can be rebellious. Even someone who looks so good as a Christian can be rebellious. God knows their heart. We don't. And rebellion takes many forms. It's like the child when you tell them to do the dishes. And I know this because I've actually experienced this in my life. Bruce, go do the dishes. Mom's fussing at me. And after a while, I relent and do it with a little fight, of course. And I go do them. But is my heart in doing the dishes? Am I obeying my mother? Am I really doing what she said? Well, it looks like I am, but in my heart, I'm thinking, I shouldn't be doing the dishes. Get my sister to do the dishes. By the way, she's a woman. Women do dishes, right? Okay. I do dishes too. So here we see there's two ways we can build our lives. James tells us in James 1:18, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's unsettled. He tries to go down both paths. One foot in the broad way, one foot in the narrow way, thinking everything's going okay and I'm doing right. And the problem is, he's split between two decisions. And he's a double-minded person. Joshua, at the end of his life, admonished the Israelites. In Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, he said, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are not just words. Joshua said this at the end of his life. His testimony already was that he served the Lord. All through his life, he obeyed. And everything we have, and I know he was a sinner just like all of us, but when you read the accounts in Exodus and Joshua, you see, or Deuteronomy, you'll see that Joshua was one who was a servant of Moses, and he was learning about God, and he's the one that God chose to lead the children of Israel after Moses passed off the scene. And it was because he served God fervently with all his heart. So it's a choice to stand ye in the ways and see. But the rest of the verse, or the next part, says, ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. Now, we think of the old paths. What's the old paths? Well, for the Israelites, it's to obey the Ten Commandments. Believe that God is Lord and follow Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Do that which is right. For us today, the old path is God's plan, which from the foundation of the world, Jesus was going to come. In 1 Peter chapter 1, you can read that. And so God's plan is that we will choose Him, the old path, walk in His way. Turn to Psalm 19 for a second. Psalm 19, and I want you to look at verse 17. When I think about the old path or God's ways, I think about Psalm 19. We see here David, he is sharing some things with us, but I want you to look at verse 7. He talks about the glory of God and those type of things. But when we get to verse 7, look what he says here. And we've sung this before. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. In verse 11 he says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The old path. The old path is looking at the statutes. The old path is looking at the law. The old path is looking at God's way. Today for us, it's Jesus Christ and the grace He's given us to live this life by just serving Him in the power of Christ Himself. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that's true. He didn't say, well, I'm good and I'm great and I'm an apostle and I can do everything. He didn't say that. He made sure that people understood it's all about Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives us the power to do what we do. He's the one who will take care of us. He's the one who will supply our needs and bless us and guide us. Israel was walking down the old Broadway, and they were choosing their own direction. Go back to your passage there in Jeremiah, and I want you to look at Jeremiah for a second, in Jeremiah 4. We see here again the warning, and this is the second message again that Jeremiah is preaching to them. It's part of this. It's actually several chapters long, but here in verse 1 of chapter 4 it says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. God is telling them to turn to the old paths. He's saying the way you're going is not right. There's nothing but destruction. You know, there's evidence that David, he asked for the old paths when he repented of his sins. And that's what we do as well. When we have done wrong as Christians, we can return back to God by just confessing our sins. It's that simple. Now, it's not just saying words, dear Lord, forgive me for whatever, and then go about your way. That's not confession. Confession is turning, first a change of mind, and then a turning of direction. If you're asking for forgiveness, then there ought to be something in your life that leads you away from what you were doing. If there's something you do and you know it's not right and you ask God to forgive you, you're telling Him, God, with your strength, I'm committed not to do that anymore. And there'll be fruit in your life through that. God will bless you through that. And see, you have to do your part. I have to do my part. And that is, I have to submit to God and trust Him for those things. That means there might be a little battle in my life. There may be a little struggle in my life. But God will see me through that struggle and give me the victory over whatever I'm walking in that's not right. He will do that for us. That's what He wants to do for every person on the face of this earth, is help them to be what they need to be. And that is a godly person. You know, it takes a godly person to get to heaven. You can't get there unless you're godly. What do I mean by that? Well, by nature, we're sinners, right? The opposite of sin is holiness or godliness. And when Jesus died on the cross, that's what He did. He died to change people from being sinners to being holy or saints. And as soon as you accept Christ, He looks down through Christ's blood and He sees you as a saint, that you are godly. But as we walk on this filthy earth, we sometimes step in a lot of dirt and we get dirty. And we still have to be cleaned up. And that's what this life is all about, because you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so He wants us to seek the old path. He says, where is the good way? The good way, it's a living way. It's the way of life. It's the way of truth. It's the way of righteousness. It's the way of holiness. It's the way that God wants to guide each one of us. But you know what? He's not going to come down and He's not going to put chains on you and grab you and tell you what to do. He's going to share with you what He wants you to do, but you have to choose to do it. Submission is your heart being right with God. It's not about making you do it. It's like this. Some people say, well, I went out in visitation and I saved 15 people. I tell you what, I've never saved anybody. Not one person. I can't save anybody. And I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Only God can do that. But we are the messengers. And God wants to use us to get His message out so He can work in their lives through the Spirit of God. And that's the whole purpose that we're here for. It's going down that path that Jesus has already forged. That path that He wants us to follow and to trust Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, that doesn't happen instantaneous in the fact that your whole life is transformed to be this godly, holy Christian. In God's sight, you are. But we have this living to do and this growing to do. Here's God, here we are, and every time we take a step, we get closer to God. And you know what I noticed as I try to grow in Christ? I don't know about you, but in my life, the closer I get to Christ, and I want to tell you something, I'm not nearly close as I want to be or ought to be, but as I try to put something in my life that God would be pleased with, I find out there's more to do. In other words, I pale in comparison of God. The closer I get to Him, the brighter He is. And that's what we're trying to do, is get closer to Him. And God's going to allow us to do that if we just trust Him. He tells us in the rest of that verse that we're to walk therein, and He says, ye shall find rest for your souls. That walk begins with a relationship. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, when you understand you're lost and you're on your way to hell, that Jesus died for you, and you ask Him to save you, believing with all your heart, that's when it begins. The relationship starts, and God starts working in your life. I've seen many people that have put their faith and trust in Christ, and with some discipleship, you would be amazed to look at them, because they're completely different. Their lifestyle changed. Their friends have changed. When I got saved, I didn't have the same friends. Didn't, because my friends were doing things and I was doing that God would not be pleased with. And it was just natural. I didn't go and say to my brother-in-law, for instance, I didn't go say to him, I can't be your friend anymore. It was a natural thing. Instead of Sundays being drunk, Sundays I was in church. Saturday nights I was preparing for church. You know, so things change. And if those things don't change in your life, then there's something wrong. Because God will remove those things from your life, and He'll continually to speak to you to help you know that. So there ought to be something going on there. So He wants us to walk in those things, to live the life, to understand that what He's given to us is not just salvation, but it's also the idea of sanctification. We don't like that word. We like to, because we hear that word, and that kind of goes along with separation. But I'll tell you what, you study your Bible, that's exactly why the children of Israel, where they're at in this passage, is because they weren't willing to separate from the world. They were walking both sides of the fence, talking out of both sides of their mouth, living a life that was a life that did not please God. In Psalm 25, 4 through 5, it says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." See, this is the whole attitude we as Christians need to get in our lives. This is something I need to be reminded of daily. Please, teach me thy ways, Lord. Show me thy paths. And if I'm focused on Jesus and He's first in my life, then I'm going to try as hard as I can to do what He says. And I promise you, every relationship you have will be the best relationship you can have, whether it's your wife, your children, your friends, the people you should may not have relationships with. That all changes when God's first in your life. It's automatic because you're looking to God. You're listening to Him. You're following His Word. You obviously, we think about things and we try to figure out things on our own. But then when you go back to the Word of God, let's see what He says. How about you? But sometimes our emotions get in our way, do they not? I feel a certain way about a certain thing. What's God's Word say about that? That's where we got to line up, not where we feel, because my heart is desperately wicked. That's right. And so we don't want to go there. So we want to walk. We want to walk in the light. We, this morning, go over to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to wrap this up as soon as we can here. Ephesians chapter 5. We see here that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's trying to encourage them because they, just like all of us, struggle. And God has not only given it to the church of Ephesus, but He's given it to me and He's given it to you. This is things that we should study. Sometimes people look at this and say, well, that's for that church way over there in Ephesus so many years, 2,000 years ago or whatever. And He was talking to them. He's not talking to me. Well, I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable, is it not? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. It's there for us to learn and to know what God's plan is for life. And Paul was being led by God. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." He's talking about walking therein, walking the ways of Christ. He said, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Jesus came, and we're to be in love. What was the love God demonstrated? You know, some of us think, well, God is love. That's true. The Bible says that. But we don't understand what that word love means. We think that word means that, well, we ought to cozy up to everybody and just hug everybody and be friends with everybody. And, hey, it doesn't matter what they do or how they live or where they go. That's really not what it's talking about. See, love has constraints. The constraint for God was putting His Son on the cross and dying. You know, that's pretty big. It's a sacrifice. And God's trying to teach us that our love ought to demonstrate a sacrifice. We ought to be strong enough as Christians and growing in grace to give up certain things that we will always serve Him, be faithful to Him. We get the choice. We get to stand in the ways and see. And like I said, God's merciful. You know, it took me a long time to even understand half of what I'm trying to share with you today. And I still struggle in a lot of areas. It's not over yet, though. As long as the Lord hasn't taken me out of this place, He's given me the opportunity to stand in the ways and see and to walk in or take the old paths or ask for the old paths and continue to go in those. Where's the good way? He says, you can do it still. It's not over till it's over. And everybody in here has the opportunity today to make a choice about anything in their life, how they want to live. Whether you want to serve God wholeheartedly or you want to be walking the line. You can do that. You may get the hand of chasing the hand of God, but I want to tell you something. You're not going to get the blessings you could get if you're serious and get away from that line. And not only get away from it, but get as far away from it as you can. Too many of us are looking at the line there and just trying to walk right next to it like a drunk man and falling over it half the time and finding ourselves in the world and the things of the world. We don't want that. So He tells us to walk in light. And light is the opposite of darkness. Let's go on. I'm going to skip what he says here. He gives us a list of things that we're to avoid as Christians. But then he says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." How do you prove what is acceptable unto the Lord? How do I know that I'm... And the Lord gives us the opportunity to test Him. And it's not talking about, as we talked about Gideon. Gideon got to throw out a fleece and God used that. But he didn't have the whole Bible either. We got the Word of God. The way we prove God is, we look at the Word of God. It says to do certain things. And when you do that, you see the results. He's building your faith. He's blessing you. Years ago, I didn't want to put any money in the tithing plate. Why? Because when I thought about how much money I was putting in the tithing plate, I could buy something with that at the end of the year. You know, it probably wasn't much to start with, but as you go through the end of the year and then you add it up, you think, boy, that's I could have done something with that, you know? And God dealt with me on that, and as I learned the principles there, I learned that, oh, by the way, everything you earn is mine. And I'm only asking you to give a tenth back. And it's not because I need it. It's because I want to prove you to see if you're willing to trust me with that tenth that I'm taking. And so God, you can prove Him by doing that. And when I started proving God by tithing, I realized, yes, maybe I couldn't do some things that I should do. But you know, a lot of things I do, especially back then, weren't godly things anyway. And so as you start to learn and you start to grow in Christ, you get more narrow about how you live and the things you think and the places you go and do and all. That happens naturally. Why? Because you're following God. And so we want to be on terms with the Lord that we're walking with Him daily. We're following Him. And He knows your weakness. He knows the problems you have. And He is going to give you the grace to get through those things. But you don't give up. You don't stop. You continue to search the Scriptures. You continue to seek God. And when you fail, you just get down on your knees and say, "Lord, I failed. I've sinned against You again. Please forgive me and help me to turn from my ways." And then make a commitment to the Lord. Put the stake in the ground and say, "I'm not going there anymore." Now that doesn't say you will never go back there, but it says in your heart and mind, you're going to follow God. And you're going to make that commitment and try to do what He wants you to do. And I promise you that if you do it and keep it up, you will have success because God's power is stronger than ours. And He also wants to see if you're willing to take the challenge. He wants to know that you are serious about serving Him. You know, God could snap His finger and He could take everything away from you that causes you to stumble. He could do that. Why didn't He do that? Because we're a diamond in the rough. And He's chiseling off the rough edges. And He allows those things in our lives to work on us, to help us, that we might grow closer to Him. And He wants that to happen, that we would do that. So He goes on in verse 11, says, "And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What road are you going to choose today? And I'm talking about what decisions that has God allowed you to see in your life that there's maybe not the decisions you should be making. And He's speaking to you today and saying, you need to choose. Stand in the ways and see. But then He says, and ask for the old paths. And where is good, and walk therein. We have the choice. And what happens? He says, I'll give you rest for your souls. That's what we want, isn't it? Peace in our life. God can give us the peace that passeth all understanding if we choose Him. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your word today. We thank You for how You guide and direct in each one of our lives. And we pray now that You would just help each one of us to see the things that You want us to see. And Father, if there's something in our life that's just not right, and we know it, Father, help us to ask for the old path. Where's the good way? And Father, work in our lives that we might be what You want us to be. That we might walk therein. that we might have that rest for our soul. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.